Please join me with your Bibles in page 1136. We are going to read Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. We approach now to the second side of the law of God, and we are going to see the second commandment tonight. So Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. This is in page 1136 in your pew Bibles. Also, please open your Trinity Psalter hymnals in page 891. We are going to read question and answer 104, Lord's Day 39. Page 891, Lord's Day 39. Congregation, listen to the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instructions of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, and with sincerity of heart, just as you will obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor with their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is a slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism within him. Thus far, the reading of God's word. Also, look with me, question and answer 104. Lord's Day 39. What is God's will for you in the fifth commandment? That I show honor, love, and faithfulness to my father and mother and all those in authority over me. Submit myself with proper obedience to all their good teaching and discipline, and also that I be patient with their failings, for by their hand God wills to rule us. And please, if you can, keep open your Trinity Psalter hymnals, because we are going to be watching several sentences here. Dear congregation of the Lord, I grew up in a very small town in the northern part of Ecuador, and right next to my house there was close by an old lady that everyone in the neighborhood used to call the crazy lady. And she was normally very smelly, a bad smell, and always she was talking to herself when she was on the street, all the time talking to herself. And if you happened to be walking by the same side of the street, you had two options. You could walk directly to her or cross the street. So if you choose to walk directly to her, there could be two options to happen to you. The first one is that you walk by her and nothing happens to you. The second one was that she grabbed your arm, grab you hard, scream at you, and scare you so hard that you will never forget. And one day I was walking from school to my house, and I saw her ringing the bell of her own house. And as soon as her son-in-law opens the door, she tries to enter her house, and he pushes out and closes the door behind him. After that, she begins to cry, and she walks away. So when I arrive home, I ask my grandpa, what's going on with her? And he says, oh boy, she used to be a very wealthy lady, and she began to lose her mind when she lost her husband. When her only daughter got married, she was so worse that her daughter take everything that belonged to her. Her house, her bank accounts, and everything, all her money. So she never sleeps in his house. And now, every single time that she's at home, is because they need money. And that is the only time when she is at home. You see, that's why she was smelly. She didn't have a home. She was sleeping in the streets. And she was suffering of abandonment. Her daughter was managing everything, her money, her house, her belongings. And she didn't want to spend any of that taking care of her mom. When we come to the catechism congregation, I want you to consider what the attitude of the Christian should be to the parents. Because contrary to this woman, the catechism is calling us to understand that the scriptures call us to proclaim the excellencies of the Lord in proper obedience. And against this evil and vile world in which more and more parents are abandoned, more and more old people is being killed, the catechism is calling us to honor them, to love them, and to be faithful to our parents. That is why the theme of my sermon for tonight is proclaiming the excellencies of God in proper obedience. Proclaiming the excellencies of God in proper obedience. Now the question is, how are we to show proper obedience? And the catechism replies to us in three headings. First, by honoring my parents and authorities. Second, by submitting to them. And third, by being patient. First, by honoring my parents and authorities. Second, by submitting to them. And third, by being patient. So we have 3 points tonight. Having said that, let us then turn to our first point. By honoring my parents and authorities. Look with me at the first part of the catechism in question and answer 104. What is God's will for you in the fifth commandment? That I show honor, love, and faithfulness to my father and mother and all those in authority over me. This statement, congregation, is so controversial, in these days. Young people and adults don't want to honor their parents, nor any other authority over them anymore. And society just don't help. Just the other day, I was hearing a commercial on the radio that said this. Aren't you tired of those things that take your joy away and your happiness away? Like your parents, your boss, or your allergies? You see, they are contrasting our happiness with not having parents. For this world, if you are happy, you have to have no parents. You have to be by yourself. And they depict this as if parents forbid happiness. And this is just a single example of many more out there. And as our society gives more and more to depravity, more and more to immorality, this is becoming more and more common. That is why I thought it was proper to understand this commandment and the origin of this commandment. So let me ask you, especially you boys and girls, have you wondered why do you have to obey your parents? Why do you have to obey your parents? Is it because they are bigger than you? Is it because you are living with them? Or why is it that you have to obey your parents? And that is why I wanted to read with you Genesis chapter 2. Because in Genesis chapter 2, we see the Lord God establishing the family. Is the Lord God who is creating this institution. Is the Lord God who gives Adam a woman. And therefore he creates family and gives them authority over their children. So the reason why we have this commandment is because God himself created family. And we need to understand this reality, congregation, especially you boys and girls, because depending on what career or vocation are you going to choose, you are going to hear sooner or later that family is just a social construction. That family exists because we desire it to exist. And this is especially prominent in the thinking of Michel Foucault, who is very popular now in the academic world. But contrary to that, contrary to those claims, when we come to the Bible, we see that family is not a human invention. Family doesn't exist because we want it to exist. Family doesn't exist because the government wants it to exist. But family exists because God created it. Because this is a God-given institution for us. And since that is the case, we need to understand that honor, love, and faithfulness are things that are due to our parents because God gave them authority over us. And in this institution, we obtain also order in society. You see, because if we have order in the family, this is contagious, and you can have order in, if we have order in family, this is contagious, and we have order in, If we have order in our families, we have order in society. And the same obedience that we have due in our families is the same obedience that we are to have on authorities outside. Therefore, if the family crumbles, sooner or later, our society will crumble too. So God designed this family to reflect also the reality of who He is. And as He is the triune God who honors Himself internally, who loves Himself internally, and who is faithful to himself internally and eternally, also our families are to reflect that reality. So honor, love, and faithfulness are three characteristics of the relationship in the Trinity, of the intra-Trinitarian relationship in the Godhead. So we are human beings made in the image of God, are made to reflect this reality. And more than that, we as Christians are called to proclaim the excellencies of the Lord in proper obedience. So honor is the first characteristic. Boys and girls, if you have difficulty like me to understanding what is honor, honor is simply respect. You need to show respect to your parents. And honor is very important. Honor teaches us to be humble, even though we have internet to answer our questions. Honor teaches us that our parents and our grandparents have something that we do not, nor internet: experience and wisdom. That is why Leviticus 19:32 says, "Stand up in the presence of the aged, show respect for the elderly, and revere your God. I am the Lord." So to show honor to our parents, to show honor to all people, is actually a way to show honor and respect and reverence to God. But honor or respect is not the only characteristic that the Catechism is asking in the fifth commandment. Because what is honor without love? One can show respect to parents, one can show respect to the boss, one can show respect to their grandparents, but without love, we cannot properly proclaim the excellencies of God in proper obedience. Since God the Father loves His Son perfectly, and the Son loves the Father perfectly, and both together love the Spirit perfectly, in the same way, we as children of God are to love our parents in a perfect way. So let me ask you, boys and girls, why are we to love our parents? Do we love them because they give us toys and treats? And parents, why do we love our children? Is it because they are cute? That's going to go away. The reality is, congregation, that we are to love each other, that is, parents and children, because we are to reflect God's perfect love in the Trinity, in His own relationship. And since we have the love of Christ, since He has loved us first, then we are called to Christian love, to love each other in a Christian way. And also, since God the Father will never tolerate to betray the Son, And the Son will never tolerate to betray the Father. And the Spirit will ever be faithful to the Father and the Son. Faithfulness is also the other characteristic. So we can faithfully honor our parents, faithfully love them, and faithfully take care of them when they are not able to do it. And this is so sad because more and more in our society, all people are seen like a burden. So adults, when have all parents, they see them as a burden. And when they get old, their children see them also as a burden. And then they kill them. And this becomes a circle of death. Because when my parent is no longer useful, then I kill him. And this is so sad because modern society sells this as a dignifying death. On the contrary, a congregation, we are called to proclaim the excellencies of God in proper obedience. When we honor our parents, when we love them, and when we are faithful to them, we are actually sending a message to the world. We are saying to them that our God is a God of order, that He created family, that is concerned with every human life, that He is a wise God because He created us to live lives that reflect who He is in every single step of our lives. Now, this leads us to our second point, by submitting to them. Look with me at question 104, part B. Submit myself with proper obedience to all their good teaching and discipline. Now, let me ask you, how do you show honor, love, and faithfulness to your parents, to your boss, or to any authority that is over you? The Catechism replies to those questions saying that we are to submit with proper obedience. And this was very important to me when I was young. You see, I was Christian first. I was a Christian first and then my family. And I was 13 years old. And I remember having my Bible in my hand, going to the worship service, and my mom standing outside of the door saying, "You know what? If you are walking out of that door, you will stop being my son." So I have two options. I can choose to stay, or I can choose to go to the worship service. And this was a very difficult situation for me because on the one hand, I knew the Bible says I need to obey my parents. On the other hand, I knew if I don't go to the worship service, my mom is going to say, "Aha, he loves me more than God. He loves me more than his religion. He loves me more and my family more than what he loves his God." What to do? So I said, "Mom, I love you, but I really have to go." And I walk out. And then when I came back, my mom couldn't understand it. Why is this little guy ready to give up his family for his God? And they were so curious, and they were mad about it, that one day they decided to go to the worship service with me. And you know what happened next? They never stopped going. They never stopped going. So when we proclaim the excellencies of God in proper obedience, God also uses us. Now, proper obedience brings with it two characteristics. First, the word of God, and second, wisdom. That is, no authority whatsoever can force us to disobey God. We can obey them as long as they don't contradict the word of God. And that is why Christians, in the first place, face persecution in other countries. The government says, "Don't worship, don't gather." And they say, "You know what? We are going to do it. Put us in jail if you want, but we are going to do it." And the word of God also brings with it wisdom. Wisdom will help us to measure when, why, and how to respectfully disobey authorities. Now, let me finish my story about myself. In my case, I was very intentional in obeying my parents in everything, even in nasty tasks. And believe me, they were some difficult ones. And no order from my mom received a no. Never. I always make sure to say yes. To do my homework, to do every domestic task. And sometimes, I have to confess, I fail. But even there, the Lord used my improper disobedience and my imperfect obedience, to bring my parents to Christ. In that way, I learned, oh, you need to proclaim the excellencies of the Lord in proper obedience. And in the same way, boys and girls, how is the world going to come to Christ if they see in us the same disobedience that they have? How is the world consider that our God is worth giving the shot and come to the worship service if we also don't obey our authorities, if we don't obey our governments, if we don't obey our boss? That means, therefore, that only when any authority forces us to betray God, we are to disobey respectfully. We are bound then to obey them unless they contradict God's word. Now, obedience, congregation, is not going to be perfect. That wasn't my case. And I don't think that's your case either. But even there, God will use your imperfect obedience to proclaim the excellencies of God in proper obedience. Also, let me address a very contemporaneous problem here that we have in evangelical churches. Church membership. I have noticed that many people today, more and more, don't want to become members of a church. They are happy to come into church. They are happy to worship with us, but they don't like to become members. Why? Because in case something happens that they don't like, they can simply walk out of the church and never come back. But that is not the way Christians are to proclaim the excellencies of God in proper obedience. Church membership is a very important implication of the fifth commandment. Because if we really want to obey the Lord, we are going to put ourselves under the authorities that the Lord has designed over His church, that the Lord has put over His church, over His local body. And this is very puzzling to me because many people like to belong to Facebook groups, to golf clubs, to movies clubs, to reading clubs. But when it's about church membership, they don't like to belong to the church. And this shows two things. First, that they don't want to submit to any other authority that is not themselves. They are their own boss. And second, that in doing so, they are not showing proper obedience, but indeed improper disobedience. Because, as our pastor said this morning, how are we going to live the Christian life if it is not in communal life? How are we going to show love, honor, and faithfulness if not in community? You see, the Christian life is about love one another, not love myself. And that communal life in the church requires sacrifice, submission, things that people don't like. Things that are countercultural today because they want to be their own God, their own boss, their own authority. So proper obedience is the way in which we can show honor, love, and faithfulness to our parents and every authority that God has put over us. That includes governments, your boss, your teacher in the schools, and also your elders here on the church. Disobedience had to be bound to the word of God and is our guide in proclaiming God's excellencies in proper obedience. This leads us then to our third point, by being patient. Look finally at the last part of the catechism, question 104. And also, that I be patient with their failings, for by their hand God wills to rule us. The catechism congregation is affirming that patience is something that we need to show to others that are over us. And the reason behind this affirmation lies in the fact that we are sinners. We are not perfect. Therefore, we are going to fail. Since we are sinners, God knows that we are not able to do things in a perfect way. That is why Paul in Ephesians chapter 6 says, children, obey your parents because that is right. But then he doesn't point to their parents, but he points to the promises of the Lord. Do you know why it's right to obey your parents? Because the Lord has promised you that he will bless you. Paul knows that if he says, children, obey your parents because they will love you back, then that is very weak. But if he points to God and his promises, that is eternal. That is sure. Nothing can defeat God's promises. So, boys and girls, do you want to be happy? Do you want to have a blessed life? Do you want to have a life that goes well? Obey your parents. Because one of the problems that I have found with us and young people is that we don't like to think in the future. We think that we are going to be young forever. We think that we are not going to grow a lot. But then one day you get married to, you get children to, and then you will want them to obey you and your parents. And you will face the same problems that your parents faced. So, if you want them to obey you, you better also obey your parents right now. We need to recognize also that Paul, in a sinful world, is telling us that parents also do fail. That they become bullies of their children, and instead of protecting them, they expose them. And instead of taking care of them, they throw them out. So, the Apostle Paul is calling the children to patience and warn us as parents to be wise. And let me put an example of this. Because parenting needs a lot of wisdom. Needs a lot of wisdom in the Lord. And I know a case of a friend in Ecuador, and he's a Christian parent, an old parent, and his boy has the same age I have. And when we were teenagers, his parent never let him do anything. So one day he comes to his house and says, Dad, can I use this brand of shoes? And he says, no. Next time he comes and says, Dad, can I learn how to skate? Says, no. Dad, he says, can I use this t-shirt? No. So on time, we learn, oh boy, we better don't call Charlie because Charlie doesn't have permission to do anything, even with Christian boys and girls. And one day, after many years of receiving no's every single time, he comes to his dad with his hair all green, a piercing in his nose, a big perforation in his ear from the size of a dime, and with a girlfriend 5 years or more older than her, than him, and she is full of tattoos. You see, he started a rebellion. Because everything that he knew of his dad was no. He wasn't wise in choosing his fights. And now he's no longer in the church. He's living a life separated from God. And when he tried, when his father tried to react, it was too late. He already lost confidence in his dad. So we as parents need to be wise, and we need to come before the Lord and ask for wisdom and fear, because we can spoil them very easily. So the Catechism and the Bible calls children to be obedient, to be patient, to honor our parents, to love them, and to be faithful to them, even if they are not the wisest parents in the world. The reason behind that is, as I said, congregation, in the beginning, that your parents are not an authority that the government puts over you or society puts over you, but it's an authority that God created. It's an authority that God put over us. So when you are disobeying your parents or your boss or you are, or any other authority, you are actually disobeying God. You are actually opposing his authority. You're actually rebelling against him. So, as Christians, we should seek to proclaim the excellencies of God in proper obedience, respecting all authorities. And that starts in our home. Now, maybe you are thinking, oh, Christian, but that is so difficult. I know. And it's worse when you think you are being ground. But then the Lord is calling us to quit to ourselves, to obey our authorities, because He has established this authority over us. Now, maybe you are asking, why? Why should I do that? Well, the reason, congregation, is because of Christ. If you see Christ, if you see His life, He never rebelled against the Father. He didn't say, I don't want to save those people, Father. I'm going to start a riot in heaven. That was not His reaction. And when He came to the world and is before Pilate, and He is suffering injustice, He doesn't rebel to the Father's commands. He obeys. And when He is under His earthly parents, He doesn't say, I'm God. No, He submits to them. So by His obedience, by His perfect obedience, you and I can be here. And you and I can find a life of forgiveness in Christ. Because we too, congregation, have to recognize that we have sinned. That we have not honored our parents as we should. That we have not honored our authorities nor loved them as we should. That we have not shown faithfulness to them as we should. We have not submitted them to them as we should. And we have not been patient with them as we should. I have not, especially the last one. So we too have thought only in ourselves. That is why we need Christ. That is why we need His sacrifice. That is why we need His forgiveness. So when we receive His forgiveness, we can walk for the Lord. We can be able to be obedient. So we can proclaim His excellencies in proper obedience. In this culture that exalts disobedience, that exalts the me, myself, and I, may the Lord help us to be faithful to Him, to submit ourselves to our authorities and to our parents, so we can show this culture here. This is our Savior, and this is how we proclaim His excellencies, obeying our authorities. Amen. Let's pray, congregation. Father, we recognize that we not always like to honor, we not always like to love and to be faithful to authorities, nor to our parents. Sometimes that is difficult, and we believe that we have it right. But we recognize that it is easier to blame others instead to submit ourselves. That is why we want to ask You for forgiveness. Also, thank You for Christ. And thank You that He did keep this commandment perfectly. Thank You that His justice is now ours. And thank You that we can obey You in gratitude. Please grant us strength and faithfulness to You, so we can shine and proclaim Your glories to an unbelieving world. May Your obedience and submission be signs to others of Your salvation in Christ. We ask You all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.